For our reading this afternoon, let's turn to the first epistle of John and read from chapter number 5. First epistle of John, chapter number 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. It is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for that sin, not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word, and let us... The Apostle John has written the Gospel of John, the Epistles of John, and Revelation, and often in his writings, the Spirit would instruct him to write on various topics, and when he would write, he would often have diametrically opposing views or comments on various things, and such as the light and darkness John speaks of often, or life and death. And here in this reading that we had this afternoon, we see it in verse number 12. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. There is either life in Jesus Christ, or there is no life. There is death without Jesus Christ. Without the Son of God, there is only death. And so the Apostle John is making that very clear, even here in this reading that we had this afternoon. But as we go through this chapter, we'll find that when we believe, we will love God. And when we love God, we will keep his commandments. And when we keep his commandments, we will abide in him and he in us. And so this truth comes forth in this chapter that we've read here. As he begins here by saying, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. When we believe, that is the foundational step, to have faith in Jesus Christ and who he is in relation to God and what it is that he has done for us. When we believe that, then we are born of God. God has given unto us a new birth, a spiritual birth, that we might live in him and he in us. And so this is foundational, that we would believe in that Jesus is the Christ, that we would be born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. And what that's saying is that when we love God, we love Jesus Christ. We love him also. It's not that as it was for some of the Jews, they thought that they could love God and not love Jesus Christ. But it is that we would love God, and when we love God, we love Jesus Christ also, who is begotten of God. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. We are being called. We are being called that when we believe in Jesus Christ, that we believe that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man can come unto the Father but through Jesus Christ. When we believe these things, we come to a love for God. We love him. And we want to then serve him, and we then keep his commandments that he would have for us. And this becomes evident. And then when we love God and we keep his commandments, then as it says here, then we love the children of God likewise. And Jesus has spoken of these things too. He's saying, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. By this all men shall know that ye are my disciples, by the love that ye have one toward another. And when John heard those words, he recorded them. He recorded them in his gospel, chapter 13, and he's recording them here again in chapter 5, that when we love God, we will love his children likewise. Because we know that God loves us, God loves our neighbor, and it is that God, as God would have it, that we would love our neighbor likewise. That we would love the children of God, that we would have that communion, that love would be evident and would come forth from the fellowship that we have in Christ one with another. It is not a phileo love, it is an agape love. A phileo love means that we would be brotherly one with another, that we would have a common interest, such as a sports team would have a common interest, but they don't have a selfless, sacrificial love as the agape love. There might be clubs where they have phileo love and they really embrace each other because they have a common interest, but it's outside of Christ. But when we are being called to love God, it is to be a selfless, sacrificial love, meaning that we are looking for that which would be beneficial, that which would be good for the children of God. And so when we love God, we want to keep his commandments. And when we keep his commandments and when we love him, we will love the brotherhood in a selfless, sacrificial way as he would have it. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. When we understand and believe that God the Father sent his Son here upon this earth to pay that supreme sacrifice, that our sins can be nailed to the cross, that our sins can be washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ. When we recognize that love that God had for us, then we love him in return and know that if we were to render our complete life to him in full obedience and love him and keep his commandments, that it would be but a small thing in comparison for the cost that was paid on his part that we might receive salvation and be with him and have eternal life. And so his commandments aren't grievous. They're not difficult. They're not a burden to obey. But his commandments give life. His commandments grant that we could see things clearly in light And it is a blessing, and it is a great joy to keep the commandments of God. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We can overcome the world. If we go back a couple chapters to chapter 2, the Apostle John here writes saying, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." We are called to love the Father. We are called to love God. We are called to love Jesus Christ, him who was begotten of him who begat. We are to love him, the Lord. And if we love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Again, the Apostle John, complete dichotomy. There, it's either black or it's white. Either we love God or we love the world. But we can overcome the world by the faith that we have, by the belief that we have, and then that faith drives us to a love for God, an agape love. And then we keep his commandments, knowing that his commandments are not hard or difficult or burdensome. And then by his grace, we can overcome the world. We can overcome that which the carnal nature would desire after, even by our faith, by our belief in him, that through him all things are possible. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Again, he's saying like the same thing here again. We can be, when we believe that Jesus is the Christ, we are born of God. And when we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, we can overcome the world. When we believe that this relationship is true. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. And here he goes into bearing witness and speaking of what the role of the Holy Spirit is and what he has done, speaking of bearing witness. So it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. There are three that bear record, or we could say bear witness, in heaven: the Father, the Word, which is Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness, again, that witness, that testimony that is given, in the earth: the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, that he hath testified in his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath this witness in himself. So he's speaking here of witnessing. Witnessing. The Spirit, which is truth, bear witness that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is the Christ, the Anointed One. Jesus said, "I must go away so that the Spirit can come, and he will guide you into all truth." And so the Spirit here was working and witnessing. And then we can also bear that witness likewise, as he says here, as we've read together here in verse number 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath this witness in himself. So if we go back to the Gospel of John, John records the words of Jesus Christ, where Jesus says, "I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that hath sent me beareth witness of me." Jesus was bearing witness of the Father. The Father was bearing witness of Jesus Christ. The Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Obey him. Keep the commandments that I have given. Believe." So when we believe, we love God. And when we love God, we keep his commandments. And when we keep his commandments, we abide in him and he abides in us. And so Jesus is saying, I'm bearing witness of myself, and the Father that has sent me, he also bears witness of me. And then, as we read together, it speaks of the Holy Ghost bearing witness of the truth, a bearing witness of who Jesus Christ was. And so Jesus, after he was resurrected, but yet before he ascended, he was speaking one last time to his disciples, and he says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." The power was residing in the Holy Ghost, which was going to come upon them. "And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world. Jesus was saying, I'm ascending. I'm going back to the Father. But the Holy Spirit, he's going to empower you. He is going to give you that power to be a witness wherever you go. In Jerusalem, to the chief priests and those who would not believe. In Samaria, to a centurion who came to believe as a first Gentile. To Antioch of Syria. And then to the uttermost parts of the world. The Spirit, the Holy Ghost, was going to give them that power. And then they did. And that they did. If we go a few chapters into the Acts of the Apostles, Peter and John are speaking to the council, and they said, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken more unto you than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Peter and John are saying, we have witnessed many things. We've witnessed healing and miraculous miracles of the dead being raised to life again. And that which we have heard with the Sermon on the Mount and his teachings wherever he went, we have to speak those things, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. They were witnessing by the power of the Holy Spirit. They were witnessing by the power of the Holy Spirit. Witnessing to the truth. Then later, again, Peter is speaking before the council, and he says, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hung on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. Peter was witnessing who Jesus Christ was and what his role was, how there could be forgiveness of sins. And then Peter continues and he says, for we are his witnesses of these things. And so also is the Holy Ghost, to whom God hath given to them that obey him. They would witness. Why? Because they believed the gospel. And when they believed the gospel, they loved God, as John laid out there in 1 John 5. And when they loved God, they kept his commandments and didn't regard his commandments to be burdensome or grievous or difficult. And when they did that, the Holy Spirit reigned in their lives. And then they were able to witness. They were able to witness. And they said, we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Then likewise to us, because we believe, we love God. And when we love God, we're keeping his commandments. And then he abides in us and we in him. And we testify. And so the Apostle Paul writes in Romans, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath given unto us, that we should be called the sons of God. The Spirit is bearing witness with our spirit. We are his. We belong to him. And he is providing for us. And we rejoice in him. And then the Apostle John, as he begins this epistle, of the first epistle, he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. Again, he's testifying now, and he's witnessing that which they heard, all the words of Jesus Christ, and those words of Jesus Christ were words of the Father. All those words that they have heard, and that which they have seen with their eyes, the transfiguration, the miracle of the loaves and of the fishes, all those things that they had seen and our hands have handled of the word of life. For this life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. That's how John begins his epistle. That which we have seen and we have heard, we're declaring it unto you. We are witnessing of the truth because the Holy Spirit resides within. And the Holy Spirit was empowering them to be witnesses in Jerusalem and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world. And so they bore witness, and we likewise can bear witness. In chapter 3 of this epistle, the Apostle John, inspired by the Holy Spirit, writes, "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which is given us." We abide in him, and he abides in us. And we see that this record is true. And this is eternal life. In verse number 11 of chapter 5, it says, "And this is the record," or "this is the testimony," or "this is the witness, that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." The Apostle John making it very clear, very clear. There is eternal life. We can have eternal life. God has given us a gift that we can have eternal life. And that gift is in his Son. And in none other. And then again, he writes here a very black and white statement. "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." There is no life. Or we can read it, "And he that hath not the Son hath death." Hath death. This morning we heard a message at the baptism that we had a sentence of death in ourselves. Before we knew God, before we knew him, before we repented of our sins, before we believed in him, before we loved him and kept his commandments, we had a sentence of death in us. So if we do not have the Son of God, we have death. And he says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." So there's just a comfort here. And a declaration of a truth that's being said yet again, that when we believe on the name of the Son of God, we can know, we can be assured, we can have a confidence, a confident expectation that we have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death, I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. A sin unto death is unbelief. When we don't believe, Jesus, the Bible here is saying, is we don't have life. There is no life when we don't believe. Now, some can fall into sin. Even as we read last Sunday, that Simon the sorcerer, he came to believe. He gave up that sorcery. And he gave up bewitching the people. He came to believe. But then when he saw that the Holy Spirit was given by the laying on of the hands of the apostles, he asked, "Peter, give me also this power that on whomsoever I lay hands on, they may receive the Holy Ghost." And Peter strongly reprimanded him. He fell back into sin. He fell back into pride. But he repented of that. And he asked Peter to pray for him that he could be forgiven. That was a sin not unto death. He yet believed. And if we go here to Jude here in a couple of chapters, or a couple epistles later, it says here, "And of some having compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." If one falls into sin, we are to pray for them, as it says here in John. "If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask." What are we asking? Whatsoever we ask, we have the petitions of that we desire of him. If when we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. So when we pray for one another that we would be restored out of sin, God hears us. But if one were to fall into unbelief, there is no repentance of that. That there is that is a sin unto death, and there is no life, even as we read here again. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. If there is no belief, there is no love of God. And if there's no love of God, there's no one. They're not going to keep the commandments of God. And if they don't keep the commandments of God, the spirit of life doesn't dwell in them, and they are not guided by the Holy Spirit. And then he goes into a series here at the very end of statements of we know, we know. Again, simply just a reminder. These are things you can have confidence and know that it's truth. In verse number 18, he says, "We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not." When we are children of God, we will love God. We will love him and recognize the great, great price that was paid for our salvation, that we could be restored and we can have reconciliation with God. And we will love him and we will keep his commandments. Yet we are in the flesh and we are in on a cursed earth. And if we fall into sin, we would repent of that and not do that again, that would not be ascribed to us. So we know that. We know that. We will keep ourselves. We will exercise the fruit of the Spirit of temperance. We will exercise self-control, and we will keep ourselves, that wicked one would touch us not. And we know that we are of God. Again, another we know statement. He says here in verse number 19, and we know that we are of God, and that the whole world lieth in wickedness. The whole world's in wickedness. They have been deceived by the evil one. They are continuing to follow the prince of this air, the prince of the air. And then in verse number 20, another we know statement. And we know that the Son of God is come. We know. This is our belief. This is what we believe to be true, that the Son of God is come. And he hath given unto us an understanding. He has given unto us a knowledge. He has given unto us wisdom, that we may know him that is true. We know him that is true. These are things that we know. And that we are in him that is true. We are in Jesus Christ. If we keep his commandments, we dwell in him and he in us. This is a wonderful truth, a wonderful truth. We know these things, that when we believe the gospel, we believe the truth that Jesus is the Son of God, and we love God for the price that was paid for our salvation, and we keep his commandments, and we love one another. We have that agape love, a sacrificial, selfless love, one for another. And don't count his commandments to be grievous. And then his Spirit abides in us, and we in him. We abide in Christ, and he abides in us. And we abide in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. This is the hope that we have. A confident expectation in him, the true God, that we would have eternal life. That we know that when this mortal frame lies in that coffin, that we continue to live. And we will live throughout all eternity because God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to pay that ultimate price for our sin and bridge that gap between us and God because of our sin, and has given unto us eternal life. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.